Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here today. We'd like to welcome everyone to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Tuesday, December the 20th, 2022. And I pray that this limited series on steadfastness is helping you to become steadfast. We're living in an hour of a great tempest. Many winds, winds of false doctrine, winds of false prophecy, winds of uncertainty, winds, rumors of wars, all sorts of wind of fallacy is sweeping the entirety of the world. And I too want to be careful that I try to not allow events to make me dictate God's timing. I've said this so many times, and I'll say it again. Many people try to make the time of their life fit into Bible prophecy. People thought Adolf Hitler was without a doubt the Antichrist because of the voluminous hatred he had for the Jews, being tremendously anti-Semitic. But we know that was not possible. Why? Israel had not become a nation as of yet. That would not happen until after World War II. And think about it. Nuclear bombs were detonated. Nagasaki and Hiroshima were obliterated by nuclear weapons. I'm sure, had you and I been living at that time, we would have said, this has to be the end. But looking back, that's been 80 years ago. I try as a Christian to be pragmatic. I try to be both intellectually and spiritually honest. I don't like people who fabricate, who sensationalize everything that takes place. And yet, that is happening on a scale as never before. And media, you know, YouTube, Rumble, Twitter, Facebook, whatever this other stuff is, I don't keep up with it. Don't do it. I know the ministry does it, but I'm not involved in that aspect of it. I pray, I study, I read the Bible, and I prepare material to bring to the listeners every week. And I believe, and I hope, and I say this with humbleness, I bring a pure, unadulterated, uncompromising message from the Word of God. Because my objective is, number one, to win souls to the kingdom of God and be a light, a beacon, a warning to the modern church. So many today are failing. If they're preachers, they're failing miserably. They're not warning people about anything. The message is feel good. You know, certain networks say to me, your programming does not meet our programming needs. You mean the Bible does not fit your Christian television platform? But that's the letters we receive when we try to enter into another place, another door. But no, because the message is not popular, because we preach the truth. We preach the truth of God's Word. And the Word of God can be so coarse at times that it's like a grate, G-R-A-T-E, you grate cheese, cabbage, whatever. It cuts. It eviscerates. It bothers people. But it's the Word. It's the Word of the Lord. And this is why Christianity is so weak and so anemic, because so many ministers do not preach the Word of God. They soft pedal, they soft soap everything. And that, my friend, will not help you in the end, because you need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is our objective. This is what Paul admonished the church at Corinth. And if you want to read about a carnal church, read both books, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Such carnality. Paul hammered it. Most people want to talk about Corinthians and talk about giving, you know, sowing sparingly or sowing abundantly. But there were so many things that Paul addressed in 1 and 2 Corinthians around humanity, their carnality, and their failure in being steadfast to the Lord. And so this is why it's important to have a balanced dietary program of God's Word in your heart and in your life. Let me say today, you may want to start, again, we said this months ago, start tuning into Rumble, because YouTube, obviously we say things, we do things that affects us and their platform. We don't know what we say. We don't know what we do. They just label it misinformation, disinformation, whatever the term they use, either miss or dis. We're not saying the right things, and so they shoot us down for that. And so I want to encourage you to begin to go away or go to Rumble. And we're going to be working on some other things. Somebody said the other day they're not getting the alerts that they were once getting when we have a new video. We're doing a lot of work here. We're transitioning the new website, a lot of things. We're working through all of this. It's not the easiest thing in the world for us, because I'll admit it. I just have no skill in computer technology, period. And we're hoping to navigate all of these things and get it up more streamlined, more proficient, and more efficient, that you can navigate everything and hear the voice of evangelism. And let me say one other thing. Thank you for sharing the ministry. That is one of the greatest ways you can help me, the voice of evangelism, sharing the ministry, sending the program to somebody, taking it, however you copy it, shoot it to them in an email or whatever, e-file, and say, listen to the program. And that will help me so much, in getting the word out. There is an awakening taking place in the true saints of God. I'm not talking about the secular worldly church. I'm talking about the true remnant, the true remnant. Things are changing, and they're changing quickly, but God wants you to be on the cutting edge, and God wants you to know and understand the times, not just be moved by times and circumstance and events, but understanding where we are and what's taking place. Amen. I want to play a beautiful song today by the Martins, entitled Standing on the Promise. It's an old, old hymn. They've kind of redone it. I pray it'll bless your heart and life in a special way. Are you standing on the promises of God? God's promises are yea and amen. They're yes, and the word amen means so be it. So be it, the word of the Lord. As thou hast said, Lord, so be it. According to thy word, Lord, so be it. Amen. We've been talking to you for the last several weeks about steadfastness. Steadfastness. We took our scripture text from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 57 and 58, where Paul said, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. I am certitude today, my labor concerning God's kingdom is never in vain. Again, we want to be steadfast. We want to be unmovable. We left off last Tuesday from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Peter is talking about Paul's epistles, better known as the Pauline epistles. 2 Peter 3:16, as also in all his epistles or letters, that's what the word epistle actually means, letter, speaking in them, his letters, of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. W-R-E-S-T, it means to twist. Twist as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction, their own demise, their own spiritual death. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, we're going to talk about that, before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. We're to be steadfast, listening to jacklegs and hirelings will cause you to lose your steadfastness, and therefore you will be led away from the truth unto error. And it's the error, Peter said, of the wicked. So let's break that down for just a moment. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. What is Peter saying? We are able, by the word of God and by the Holy Spirit, to see the future and know before they come to pass. That is profound. Only God Almighty can know the future to that degree. And God's Word gives us the future. God's Word tells us there's going to be hirelings, false prophets, false teachers, false apostles, deceitful workers. The Bible tells us all of this stuff is going to come to pass before the second advent of Christ. Because we know these things, then we should be able to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because all of this is coming to pass, whether we like it or not. 2 Corinthians 11, 13, 14, 15. Listen to verse 13, 2 Corinthians 11, 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. How can they transform themselves? How can they transform themselves? That's the Greek is metamorphosis, transformation, transform. And so he says this is how they're going to do it. in verse 14. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed, metamorphosis, transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, three consecutive times, Paul uses the word transform. Verse 13, transforming themselves. Verse 14, for Satan himself is transformed. Verse 14, and no marvel, verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed. Metamorphosis. It is a transition from one state to another. So three times, and three means completeness. Remember I shared with you months ago, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It went through three men before it was perfected, and Jacob was changed to Israel. Three means divine perfection. Jesus rose again on the third day, divine perfection, glorified body, glorified state. So here in 2 Corinthians 11:13, transforming themselves, it's within themselves that they're being transformed. It's the power of Satan, but it's in themselves. They're not who they say they are. Verse 14, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Verse 15, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. They're not righteous. They're not godly. They're not saintly. They're wicked. They're wicked. So we see the word transforming, transformed three times. So Peter tells us that they're going to be full of error. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, think about that. You know these things before. I know before this happens, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I know before this happens, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How can Peter say we're going to know before? Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, because of the Word of God, because of the Holy Spirit, because I believe the Word of God, I believe there will be a third temple built in Israel, Revelation 11. I believe there will be a revelation. There's a literal physical man called the Antichrist. Why do I believe that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul said this man is going to come. 2 Thessalonians 2, 4. He's going to oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Paul says, you're going to see this. This man of sin. You're going to see this man of sin. Verse 8, 2 Thessalonians 2, 8. Remember, this is all before it takes place. Why? Because the Bible has told us this is what's going to take place before the revelation and the second advent of Christ. You're going to see the revelation first of the man of sin. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Peter's telling us, listen to me closely, seeing ye know these things before. Because men do not preach the entire counsel of God, for the most part, people can't see, they can't recognize what's actually taking place. Therefore, people lose their steadfastness. Steadfastness. Seeing these things before means we will see what will happen beforehand, before it takes place. This is the power of the Word of God. This is the power of Bible prophecy. If you can see this before, This will help us to not fall from our own steadfastness. You know, it's like a hurricane. Years ago, before there were satellites, people would go to bed at night. Oh, there may be a little mist in the air. There may be a little leaves moving a little bit because of wind. But then by sunrise, a vicious, ferocious hurricane comes on shore and decimates everything in its path. They went to bed not knowing, not understanding what was going to take place. But now, because of satellites, you can see the storm hundreds of miles off the coast. I'll never forget Hugo, because it affected our lives for 2 weeks. 1989, I remember I was at a minister's meeting. My minister of music and myself, we walked out of the church building about 9 o'clock that night. It was misting rain, just a little mist. Went home, got into bed, never thought nothing about it. 4 o'clock in the morning, my house was rumbling, shaking because of the great wind. Got up the next morning, 100-year-old oak trees, trees that would measure around the trunk of the tree, I wouldn't be afraid to say 15, 16 feet. That's how big they were. And because it was in September, the foliage was still on the trees, and so it was like a huge fan. And when it blew against the foliage, the huge, huge foliage, how big the trees were at the top. And that wind, see, had something to take hold of. Those wheat, those leaves gathered up the wind and broke those trees down and uprooted them. I mean, huge trees. And it looked like a war zone. I'll never forget, I got up and I got in the car and was riding around the neighborhood. I could not believe it. Could not believe it. In Charlotte. And it came on shore in Charleston, South Carolina. And Charlotte was decimated to that degree. We didn't have power for 2 weeks. And I saw the storm. I saw the storm on the satellite pictures, the satellite photos. We saw that on the news. Why am I telling you this? The Word of God tells us beforehand what's going to happen. Therefore, it should not happen to us because we know the truth. But if we are not steadfast, when these winds of false doctrine, winds of false prophecy, winds of false prophets begin to blow in the land because of our inability to remain steadfast, we get taken up in the chaff. The wind drives us away. It drives us into the abyss, you might say. So Peter says, seeing these things before, ye know these things before. 2 Peter 3:17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, you can know it, you can see it beforehand. You've seen people, you said, if they keep going that way, they're going to suffer shipwreck. Something is going to negatively happen. Something negative. Now, the word error here, being led away with the error of the wicked. Do you understand these people are wicked? I heard someone some months ago there, if I called the person's name, and the television program, you would all know who I'm talking about. Most of you would. And he was praying. And he made the statement, because I recorded it and put it on my phone so that people wouldn't think I was making this up. He's talking about getting to heaven, and Jesus is going to introduce us to all of his brothers, meaning the angels. Well, I got news for the brother. He has absolutely fallen into grave, grievous error. Angels are not Jesus' brother. Jesus is not an angel. Jesus is God. And when he prayed that prayer, when we all get to heaven and this great reuniting, and you introduce us to all of your brothers, I thought, my God, you got to be kidding me. This is what a novice, this is somebody who don't know the Word of God would say, but he's supposed to be an expert. By no means is he an expert when he says that the angels are Jesus' brothers. How he took away from the deity and the majesty of Almighty God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. Jesus had to be made lower than angels. Why? So he could die. And Jesus, now, you may get disturbed here. You may be disturbed by what I'm about to quote. Don't fall from your own steadfastness. Jesus received grace from God. What? Jesus? Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, suffering the death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. That sounds to me like Jesus received grace. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angel for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Wow. Now, I can't explain that. I just know it says it. That he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. So even Jesus, according to that scripture, though he was God, what I believe that means is his humanity received grace, not his deity. You understand that? His deity did not need grace, but his humanity needed grace. See, these things, I read them, you read them. They are so vast. They are so far-reaching. When we read them, it's like, do we really understand the gravity of that? And I hope and I pray that is the correct understanding. As God, why would he need grace? He gives us grace. But as a man in his humanity, he tasted death for every man. So by the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace needed for his humanity, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now we know God cannot die, can he? How can God die? So the point is, his humanity received grace, and as a human being, Christ died. I hope that made sense to you. I hope you saw the truth in that verse. His humanity received grace. His deity did not need grace. He's God. But suffering death, beaten, mutilated, marred, spat upon, it took God's grace and his humanity to not open his mouth. I said he didn't even open his mouth. That's powerful, folks. That is tremendously powerful. Getting back to 2 Peter 3:17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. See, I know what's going to happen before it happens. Why? We have the Bible prophecies. The Bible says there will be a revelation called the man of sin. If they're going to measure a temple in Revelation chapter 11, there has to be a temple built. If he's going to take the beast and the false prophet and throw them into the lake of fire, they have to be real. The Bible tells us these things before. Lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked. Now the word error here in the Greek means something that is fraudulent, straying from orthodoxy, to deceive, a delusion. Again, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, and that is fomenting throughout the land, and there will come a time, there will be the literal physical manifestation of the man of sin, the Antichrist. And people say, they send me stuff. People have told me for years, Obama's the Antichrist. Anybody that says that, I'll say openly, candidly, and in a very probably too frank of a way, is an idiot. Ronald Wilson Reagan, Antichrist. I mean, everybody that comes along, people have said Trump's the Antichrist. All that is nothing but conjecture. Why do I say that so adamantly? Because of what my Bible tells me. Because the Bible has told me the future. If I'm steadfast, I remain steadfast in the Word of God. I can know things Peter said before. So let's just pause here for a moment and talk about the revelation of the Antichrist. The reason nobody knows who he is, because he's not been revealed yet. If nobody knew who the son of perdition was, talking about Judas Iscariot, what makes us think we can know beforehand? Nobody at the Last Supper knew who the son of perdition was, did they? Because with one consent, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? If they didn't know, what makes you think you're going to know? 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What day? Verse 1, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. There's the key word, revealed, 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 revealed. Have you revealed what your pregnancy is, a boy or girl? You know. You had an ultrasound, but nobody else knows, do they? So you do the revealing, and then you pull out the picture, say, see, here's the proof. Here's the proof. You can know. Other people don't know. Why? Because it has not yet been revealed. Paul reiterates that in verse 6. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. The Antichrist will not be revealed until a particular time. But we know beforehand it will be a particular time. And he will get 1,260 days, not 7 years. All of that stuff is based on Daniel 9 and 27. But again, it is a revelation. It is a revealing. Verse 8, 2 Thessalonians 2:8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. So we're going through the Word of God. We're reading the prophecies before they come to pass. We know what's going to happen. We know the way it's going to happen, but it has not happened yet. So you get people running around saying, oh, I know, I know, I know. And Peter says, don't be led away, don't be led astray by the wicked. Don't let these people lead you in the wrong way. Don't let them take you down a path of error. Why? Why do they take you down a path of error? Because like the Pharisees, they don't know the truth. Matthew 22:29, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Folks, the scriptures hold the truth. The scriptures hold the truth of God in them. So anybody who says this is the Antichrist, that person's the Antichrist, ask them, how do they get around verse 3, 6, and 8 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? How do you get around those? Well, you can't. And if you try to, you are the one, or they are the ones, that fall into error. And if you believe them, you fall into their error. You fall into their fraud. You fall into their deception. You fall into their delusion. Let me tell you, there's a lot of delusional people out here right now. Now, I would never take away from the gravity of the hour. I mean, from fuel shortage to nuclear war to famine, earthquakes, war, rumor of war, this is all there. My point is, we have the Bible. We have the Holy Scriptures. The Bible tells us what's going to take place before it happens. And so when you reconcile all the Scriptures as best we can, we believe we can say this is it, like Peter did in Acts 2. This is that which was spoken of by Joel the prophet. He recognized the prophecy of Joel when it happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was poured out. He said, this is that. You're going to see if the Lord tarries, or if we live to see it, we could pass away. But there will be the revelation of the Antichrist before the Lord returns. It has to be. How do we know? Matthew 24:15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then in your Bible, most of your Bibles, it has in parentheses, whosoever readeth, let him understand. We're talking about understanding and knowing the times. We're talking about being steadfast, and it's the Word of God that suffers us to be steadfast. If you're steadfast, you will be unmovable. You will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, again, by the sleight of men. I quoted that verse at the beginning of this teaching, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men. That word sleight there in the Greek is cube, like dice, gambling. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Their purpose is to deceive you. Peter says, brethren, seeing these things before, seeing these things, how can I see these things before they happen? By the word of Gabriel. He told Zacharias, you and Elizabeth, going to have a child before she ever conceived. Gabriel says to Mary, you're going to conceive and bear a child, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. She shall bring forth a son, that shall call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Foretold before it ever happened. And because Mary believed the prophecy, she was steadfast. When she became pregnant, her life was not rocked. Why? God had told her, this is what's going to happen. Oh, friend, you just don't understand the significance, the importance of praying and reading your Bible. When I hear stuff, and I hear a lot of stuff, people send me a lot of stuff. I'm not able to watch and listen to all the videos, all the audio files. I get sent a lot of stuff, books, DVDs. I get a lot of stuff sent to me. Thank you for sending them. However, I'm unable to watch and listen to every one of them. I'll get, 15, 20 a week. I spend my time and the scriptures. I spend my time studying. Because the Bible says, if I know the word of God, Peter said, you're going to know these things before they happen. You're going to know. This is the chronology. This is how this is going to happen. See, it's not, God forgive me, I don't mean to be demeaning, but it's not rocket science. But if we get in the right place, the right posture, you know, what a transformation, maybe I should say reformation in my life after 1994. Everything changed in my walk with God. Everything changed in my walk with God. See, I was hungry for God. I was thirsty for God. I said, I'm not going to eat a bite of food till God moves in my life like I feel like he needs to move. I didn't know. But I sealed my fate into a 40-day fast. I did not plan to do that. That was not premeditated. I just said, God, there's things not right in my life. It wasn't about sin. Lord, no, it wasn't about sin. It was about understanding biblical truths, biblical principles. And because I became hungry and became a God chaser, he brought me into another level, another dimension of the Word of God. I could quote these scriptures, but I really didn't understand them at that time. I could rattle them off, but I didn't understand the depth and the breadth. But when the Holy Ghost began to reveal the mysteries, mysterion, that's the Greek word, mysterion, things that were hidden, and I began to seek God, God revealed things to me. I don't say that to be pompous. Jesus said, when you seek me with all of your heart, Deuteronomy 4:29, he said, you'll find me. You see, God has secret things. Psalms 89:34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that are going forth from my mouth. That's not the scripture passage I wanted. I wanted Psalms 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. God has secret things. And how do you learn secrets from people? You get close to them. And when that closeness and that relationship has developed, they'll tell you things you would have never known. But that relationship, the development of that relationship allowed them to say, okay, I'm going to share this with I told a couple one time. I've told this story before. They come into my office on a Sunday night after church and said, we want to get married. I said, absolutely not. I didn't pull no punches. I said, no, 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 no. She slid up on the edge of her chair and she said, I know what I want. I said, you know, he doesn't. I knew both of them. He was naive. He wouldn't want to admit that, but he was naive. She had been, as my grandpa would say, she had been around the teacup a time or two. And I said, no. That was Sunday night. Monday afternoon, 4 p.m., I get a phone call. We went to Pigeon Forge and we got married. I reckon you're upset with me, he said. I said, absolutely I am. But nevertheless, you've done it. He said, you're going to let me preach? I said, not for at least 6 months. He said, why? I said, disobedience. Obey them that have the rule over you in the Lord, for they watch out for your souls, that they might do it with joy. Hebrews 13:17. Make a long story short, after about 3 or 4 months of marriage, he come by the church red as a fire truck. He said, and I won't use the word he used, but he said, that blank gave me herpes. I'm leaving her. I said, no, you're not. I said, oh, you can leave. But I said, she is your wife now, and you have no grounds for divorce, pal. I said, but you wouldn't listen to me, would you? I said, because that was a secret, wasn't it, on her part? And I told them that night, Sunday night, in a counseling session, I said, let me say this, and this is how God knows things before. I said, there are things right now you don't know about one another. You have no clue. But I said, in times of closeness and times of intimacy, you will open up and you will reveal a secret about your life that the other person does not know. That's why I'm saying, no, do not get married. Once you know some things and you still want to get married, that's fine, I said. But you don't know things. And I didn't know, of course. Sadly, tragically, the lady had herpes. See, the Holy Ghost gave me wisdom. And I said, no. But my brother, my friend, whom he said the Holy Ghost sent him to my church to learn from me, that I would teach him a lot of things. We were basically about the same age. You see, there were secrets there. And those secrets could have been revealed and known about had the relationship taken the proper course. I'm talking to somebody today. You better be still. You better wait on God. Don't put the cart before the horse. You better be still. God has secret things himself, and he knows the secrets of those whom you're encountering, those whom you are talking to, those who you may work with. There are secrets in their lives. God knows those secrets, and God has the ability to reveal those secrets to you if you seek him. God's warned me about people before. And there are times he never gave me any kind of warning. I'm just saying, you can know things beforehand that have preserved you. Again, Psalms 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. God has secret things. God can protect you regarding secrets of other people whom you are affiliated with, and in the end can hurt you. Now, this brother was terribly, terribly hurt. And fortunately, thank God, to this day, they're still married. They've had a child. But he was so hurt. But God knows my heart, having been around the teacup, as my grandpa would say, numerous times, I knew things in the Holy Ghost that my friend was not prepared for. But the lady said, I know what I want. She did. He didn't. And it was a tumultuous couple years after the marriage. Why? Because he felt betrayed. He felt hurt. Because things were hidden. And I had said, as my grandpa would say, you need to court for a while. You need to court a while. Let it take its natural course, and you'll learn things that you don't know now. But, oh, no. No. Sadly, people today, they want good counsel. Sadly, they get good counsel, but they go out and they do what they still wanted to do and disregarded the counsel. Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I was not an ungodly man. I was a godly man trying to give sound advice and counsel. Sadly, people can hear the truth and turn away from it. And this is what the Bible says will happen in the end times. I try to be as honest as I can in every sense of the word, my humanity. I don't like people who lack integrity and character. I don't like people who sensationalize everything. They blow it up. They make it bigger than what it is. It's a molehill, and they turn it into a mountain. You know how you turn a molehill into a mountain? You just add a little dirt to it. That's all you got. Add a little dirt to the molehill, and you've got a mountain. It was never anything to begin with. That's the world today. They twist people's words. They tell lies. They tell stories. They exaggerate. They act like they've had encounters with God. They wouldn't know God if they saw God. Someone sent me the video the other day, weeks ago, I suppose now, about a talk show host. He talked about how he's been under the anointing of God like Moses. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You're not serious. The way you curse and use God's name in vain and all sorts of four-letter words, and you've been under that kind of an anointing? Come on. People like that are not steadfast, folks. And Peter says, they take away from your steadfastness. They take away from that. let me quote it again in closing. 2 Peter 3:17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. How do I make my own self steadfast? By abiding in the Word of God and by praying. That makes me steadfast. Now, Peter says, own steadfastness. I'm not able to save myself. I'm not able to make myself steadfast, but I can when I submit myself to God in prayer and in the Word of God. That makes me steadfast. False doctrine, heresy, fallacy comes along. I reflect it relative to the Word of God. I measure it by the Word of God. The Word of God says something different. I say that then is error and it's wicked. And I'm not going to be led away with the error of the wicked. Now, some of these people would not publicly say, or they may not appear on the outside to be wicked. But on the inside, they're wicked. And Jesus said they're full of dead men's bones. They're dead. They're dead. But on the outside, they're whited sepulchers, painted up, look good, garnished. They look really great. But on the inside, they're dead. How can I know they're dead? How can I know they're not right? Measure it by the Word of God and by the Holy Ghost. And when you pray, you commune, you fellowship with God, you will be in tune. You will be in tune with those things. Listen. Pray. Read your Bible. And that'll make you steadfast. I cannot make you steadfast, but God can. Now, we're getting close to 2023. I'm about to finish up on this new series. I think it'll be enriching. It's entitled Rediscovering the Word of God, 2 Kings chapter 22 and chapters 23. When Josiah, they brought the Word of God to him. Shaphan read it to him. He rent his garment. He said, my God, God's about to consume us. And he started all these great reforms because he repented, initiated reform. God said, the judgment won't come in your lifetime, Josiah. When you're dead and gone, judgment will come. I kind of feel like that's where America is. Can you imagine? Revival, reformation, followed by the judgment of God. God again gave space and time for repentance for those who wanted to get right. God bless you. I'll see you Monday in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.